Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Quincy Pondexter, Keon Dooling, Joey Devine, Mo Spates, John Luer. Keen, Jared Bayless, Austin Day, special guest Keith Parrish, Patreons, Copernic, thank you Copernic, Dubaroo, thank you Dub, Patrick Cosmos, the strongest man in Chicago. Thank you, Patrick. Musical guest, 3-6 Mafia. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And we are back with, I'm going to say, a more ad-libbed episode than normal. I'm here, as always, with my good friend, my best friend, a writer, a comedian, a writer for Golden State of Mind, a raconteur, someone who's gonna be on Mount Everest in 3 weeks, America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. I did my last, American stand-up show last night.
Were you attacked on stage?
I was actually. It's weird. It's tough out there. I almost got clotheslined mid punchline, and that breaks the comedian code. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to let the punchline land. Otherwise, you've broken the comics code. And Dave Chappelle will tell you that, too. And then he'll say something very transphobic.
Before we get started, just some stuff off the top here. Please donate to the Pennsylvania Abortion Fund for our friend Queen Ozymandias. But if you don't want to donate to the Pennsylvania Abortion Fund, which the link is in the description, donate to any abortion fund, because what's going on is fucked up. We've been joking a lot about the Supreme Court lately because Jerry West is gonna take him there, and what's happening fucking sucks, and I hate them. All right. Also, roundrockpod at patreon.com, at gmail.com is our email, at roundrockpod is our Twitter, And patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can listen to bonus episodes or get in our popping off Discord or get some buttons or a t-shirt.
I recently ordered a mug.
Oh, I'll make sure to give you that $3. yeah, and you can
don't
do
show
that.
Us how the sausage is made.
And you can do that at our T Public store, which is in the link in the description. We do have a new shirt coming, I promise. I've been promising it for 2 months now, but there is a design, we just haven't finished it yet. It's Domantas Sabonis, and it says, "Welcome to hell, Domus." Oh, and he has little devil horns. It's awesome. It's very funny. You're gonna love it. You know what else you're gonna love? The fact that we have an enemy on the pod today.
Yeah.
From the Grits and Grinds podcast, from the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, we have everyone's favorite D'Anthony Melton stan, Keith Parrish. Keith, how are you?
How's it going, guys? Happy to be here. It's been, man, I gotta say, I haven't done the full show with you guys in a while, like throughout the whole intro, and I listened to your show at like twice the speed, so I'm like in a weird, I don't know, time vortex. I'm loving it.
It's Keith Parrish in the multiverse of madness over there.
exactly, exactly.
Keith, how you feeling? How you doing? How's Grizz Nation?
We are standing at the precipice of war. We're at the brink of doom and destruction. We're just waiting for the call. We're waiting for the trumpet call that tells us to start just, I don't know, whacking the legs of all the Zaza Pachulias we see in the world.
Yeah.
We are ready to fight this team. Listen, we've been accused of some war crimes, and I don't know how to feel about it, but I do know in a battle, you just got to hunker down and just look for the people wearing your shirt and whatever they do, I have to find a way to defend it.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm going to try to find a way to just argue dogmatically all things Grizzlies and enter the forum of battle against my enemy.
Yeah. The Golden State Warriors have announced that they're seizing all of the Memphis Grizzlies cryptocurrency.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be rough. I mean, these fans, Dylan Brooks does not know what's waiting for him, Keith. Strongly worded Yelp reviews.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to
he's going to get hashtag canceled.
They're going to have these signs up there that says, like, we have to do something about Dylan. Vote in November.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in line on the league office complaint line, stay in line.
If you are outraged by the Gary Payton 2 injury, call your representative.
I hope Dylan Brooks is ready for Joe Lacob to scream, "I took all your slurp juice. You can't use them on your apes."
The cryptocurrency thing, I got me thinking. I feel like the Grizzlies themselves might be the least crypto team in the NBA.
I think that's right. Yeah.
That might be one of the reasons they're so cool. I don't think any of them have NFT profile photos, but I guess do you guys track that?
We don't.
Someone tracks that. I feel like they might be the least crypto, least NFT team out there. So,
well, what I will say is I think their players are the least crypto, but I actually think their front office might be the most likely to be crypto. They're all like 30-year-old Duke people.
They're so young.
Yeah.
Well, and the owner is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Honestly, he seems to mostly just own stock in his own company.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
sure he has like $20 billion worth of stock in his own company.
Yeah. He's like just.
I would think he might actually hate cryptocurrency too. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. He's I remember I had a friend who went to high school with him.
Oh, wow.
Spent a lot of time at lunch shooting threes.
I guess we should just hop straight to the playoffs because we're already here, right?
Yeah.
It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
All right. So first things first, I guess we got to talk about it. Dylan Brooks injured Gary Payton Jr. on a flagrant
Gary Payton the second,
sorry,
Joey.
Why did I say Jr.?
He's one of Gary Payton's two sons named Gary Payton.
And that has led to a toxic discussion where America has decided JJ Redick is cool. I did not see this coming.
So what a terrible man, effect.
What a turn.
Just the worst possible world we live in where all of a sudden JJ Redick is cool. And you know where JJ Redick, you know what JJ Redick is not cool? If you're on a school board in New York City.
If you run a Brooklyn preschool. Not cool. If you believe in the sanctity of just having one family and not multiple secret families, not cool. Also,
if you're a fan of poetry, not cool.
I think what we need to, there needs to be a concentrated blitz, not from anyone. Like, I don't know who JJ Redick's enemies are. I just feel like there should be a public service campaign where we publish his college poetry and have a lot of pictures of the tattoos on his arms. And then people are like, yeah, this guy isn't really cool. All he did was he bested an old man in a verbal argument. who isn't used to speed?
Yeah.
Well,
who famously used to just like yell at a man who was asleep holding a Diet Coke can every day. That was what his, that's why he was so confused that someone would talk back to him, because the person he was yelling at was not holding a Diet Coke and sleeping. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I was going to say, I definitely wouldn't want any of my college era art turned up. Some of the songs I wrote in college, some of the deep feelings I held about things.
Keith, hear a title of one of these songs.
I have some sympathy. You know, I wrote a really avant-garde piece called the A-Trait Makeout Stamp. Listen, it wasn't great. None of it was good. I went to a university with dreams of being a composer. I felt inspired to write a lot of music a lot of times, and I definitely emerged as a 12-tone atonal composer, which has no purpose in society whatsoever. And then I got real interested in like old timey country music. So again, college ruined me. Thanks, liberals.
But yeah, because it's because of the Dylan Brooks thing, let's talk about the injuries in this series.
Okay.
Injuries. You hate to see them.
Certainly not the sight the Celtics and their fans want to see. Paul Pierce in a lot of pain, had to be carried off, then they put him in the wheelchair as he's going back to the locker room.
They are easily the worst part of basketball.
This is the sight that the Celtics fans want to see. And hear the ovation as he comes hopping out of the tunnel.
Except for when they're not injuries at all. And they're Paul Pierce shitting his pants.
Standing back there at the locker room when Paul Pierce came out was a pretty dramatic moment. He was followed out of the hallway by Danny Ainge.
Anyway, here are some real injuries. And not ones where a guy pooped his pants.
Gary Payton, too, has been ruled out until the NBA Finals, which I gotta say is a little bit of a... Considering where the Warriors are in the series, maybe don't mention that. Maybe just say 3 to 4 weeks instead return to the NBA Finals.
So I ended up listening to a little bit of local Bay Area radio yesterday, and there was people are searching for a way to keep this outrage going. I mean, look, it sucks that Dylan Brooks injured Gary Payton, but there were people saying like, this was his one shot at a payday, and now You know, he lived on his fast hands. He might just not be able to ever do that again. Like, he won't be able to steal and just hope the Warriors take care of him. Like, they were talking like he had been put in like a wheelchair, like a real wheelchair, not a pants shitting wheelchair.
Yeah. Poop chair.
But and then it's like, yeah, he has a broken elbow. He can play in 3 weeks, which is, again, a blow for the Warriors, obviously. But I would just say not the kind of thing that is going to make teams just decide to pull whatever free agent offers they had for him. Like, that's, people were talking about it like he wasn't going to have an elbow anymore.
Yeah.
I heard people speculating, like,
when the injury news, when the update came out that he would be back in 3 to 4 weeks. One, I was like, kind of, I was obviously relieved for him.
Yeah.
But like the way it felt, like, I thought this was like all right, it's gonna be 5 months with like some weird complex fracture of his elbow.
Yes.
Like, I'm not belittling what Dylan Brooks did, and it's like, it's an ugly, dirty play, but like, I feel relief for Gary Payton. He's going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
In the summer. like, he's gonna not,
yeah, like, he has a little bit of ligament damage.
Also, as far as like him getting a payday, there's something to be said about leaving it a mystery.
Like, right.
He did not have a chance to metaphorically poop his pants in the NBA playoffs with teams leaving him wide open and maybe him having a show. Like, he played well up until the point he got injured. The guy's going to have a contract next year. He did not lose out on the payday.
It's going to be
the regression
from the Golden
did not
State
arrive.
Like,
also, but yeah, the Warriors were going to bring him back anyway. So it's kind of like,
well, you're telling me Joe Lacob isn't happy maybe that he gets a slight discount also, maybe, possibly?
I mean, he's going to... He's already thinking about the way he can shave like $1 million a year off Jordan Poole's deal. Yeah. I mean, that's what they have done with everybody's extensions. Basically, they did that to Clay. They did that to Draymond. Draymond had to take like 2 days of pretending to be a restricted free agent before just signing the deal and being like, yeah, you can't have me over a barrel here with this CBA.
We should also talk about the injury on the Grizzlies side. Santi Aldama is out. Do you want to talk about Santi Aldama's injury?
Listen, I didn't want to go there, but if you look at some of the lineup combinations with Santi Aldama and Killian Tilly with Ja, they're honestly off the charts. Incredible. It is a huge blow not having our giant swarthy stiffs out there. I guess Tilly not that swarthy. But yeah, hey, we have injuries.
Desmond Bane
can't do a jumping jack.
Did he just get? Was he already hurt in the Minnesota series?
I think he got too swole.
Oh
yeah.
I think he did back day 2 days in a row, and you got to rest and recover. You know, and he did not. No,
he has the muscles of a 7'2" wingspan with a 6'2" wingspan.
Well, yeah, I heard he hurt himself. He was trying to make his arms longer, so he was just hanging off a swing set.
He was doing that surgery in California that adds 3 inches to your height, I think.
Rivers
Cuomo.
He secretly had a Rivers Cuomo surgery.
No, the back thing popped up against the Timberwolves, although there were no real ill effects we could tell in that series. That's when we first started hearing about it. And you saw in the first two games, he's just basically a shell of himself. He's receiving treatment constantly during the games. His minutes haven't been up where they are, but also, like, he literally apparently can't catch and shoot. He hit 1 3-pointer in game 2. He took another one that's like the no dip three that like some players are good at. He's not good at that.
That's
he caught a pass
shoots.
Over his head and then just tried to like, just two-hand pass it over his head without dipping the ball below his chin. Yeah, the back is really messing with him.
So
it's
that's
a good
why
thing
his
the
shot's
Warriors
not falling.
Treated
so,
him like he was totally healthy.
Yeah,
was
so
a,
that's
that
why his
break.
That's why his shots aren't falling. What's Klay Thompson's excuse?
Man, Klay Thompson, I know we hit the game winner in game 1, but dude looks slow.
Draymond
got a bunch of steals in game 1 before getting ejected. I'll be real. Draymond looks a little slow. I felt like this is like the aging series. I'm not like feeling overly confident that the Grizzlies are going to win this series, but I thought the athleticism matchup would definitely favor the Grizzlies. And after two games, I'm like, yep, these guys all look slow outside of Andrew Wiggins.
Well,
Andrew Wiggins, he could come on down. That guy's athletic.
There's
Draymond also, like when he was rehabbing his back injury, he got very strong, which was very helpful against Jokic, but he's not like really, this is not a physical series in the same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In game one, it was like really night and day when they had that 5 minutes where it was like Kuminga, Wiggins, Payton. And it was like, this is like a team that's as fast as the Grizzlies now. Poole's fast. Poole's fast, too.
Poole's lightning fast, but like he's not keeping up with people on defense, though.
Well, that's because Jordan Poole falls down more than any player I've ever seen. And not just because Ja Morant breaks his ankles, but also he just falls down on offense. It oftentimes feels like his shoes are literally banana peels. He should maybe try a different shoe brand.
Jordan Peel?
Exactly. We should mention Steve Kerr said that Dylan Brooks broke the code. Injuring in the play. And I actually have a quote from Dylan Brooks here about it's an exclusive quote.
Oh, great.
He just gave it to Round Ball Rock about the code. Here we go.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's
the grit and grind way. All right.
Wow.
Dylan's really got that brogue that people don't
realize.
It's like Dylan Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that movie? Sean Connery is apparently playing a man from Chicago in that movie. All right. with that accent and won an Academy Award, I believe.
I feel like it won multiple Academy Awards.
He did win an Academy Award for that one. Yeah.
Keith, the real reason I wanted to have you on, though, is for as long as I can remember, you have been begging the Memphis Grizzlies to play more D'Anthony Melton and more Brandon Clark. And that's what's happening. And I wanted to give you a chance to take a massive victory lap here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels good to be right. I feel like I don't want to get too full of myself, but I do feel like I'm constantly right. And I try not to gloat too much. This was a great one. Brandon Clark all playoffs has been amazing. He's had a great year. And I definitely am the loser who just keeps being like, hey, we always win when these guys are on the court. Like, and it's weird that the Grizzlies have had roster continuity for the past few seasons. Like, I know like Steph Clay and Draymond have been in Golden State for forever, but among other teams, you don't normally keep your like 1 through 9 together for 3 straight years, which the Grizzlies have kind of done. You know, they swapped out of Valanciunas for the far superior Steven Adams, but a lot of these guys have been together and it's like, hey, it's been 3 years and the Grizzlies literally always win when Melton and Clark are on the court. If you play them on the court with like their best players, with like Ja and Dylan and Jaren, they just crush people. And it's been an up and down thing. Last year we got stuck with all these Grayson Allen minutes. Just the Grizzlies got murdered. And, this year, Desmond Bane got really awesome. So I've been somewhat muted where it's like, hey, we have this other awesome guy now. I'm no longer like absolutely dying that Melton doesn't play, but I still definitely keep pointing out, hey, like even when the dude bricks all his shots, he does awesome stuff. It always works out.
Like,
and so
3 steals and 2 blocks on Steph Curry. So
you see in game four where, you know, Dylan does a dum-dum, he gets thrown out. And then it's like, well, I guess Melton's playing a lot this game. And Melton had a terrible shooting game, was really rough offensively. Again, that goes back to thank God the Warriors didn't get the ball out of Ja's hands. But on defense,
why would they do that though?
Like, no, they why wouldn't you? They're
it's
Jordan
part of the
Hill
code.
Just fine.
It's dishonorable. It's, we've discussed it. It's dishonorable to send help. No, but you saw in the fourth quarter, Melton got 2 blocks, 2 steals in the fourth quarter alone. All of those defensive plays directly led to points, except the Warriors kept the ball, but off the
they got a dunk a couple seconds later instead.
Off the 2 steals, off the first block shot, it directly led to, I think, 8 Grizzlies points. It was like a 3-point play and a 3-pointer and a basket. And so, like, Melton, when he's out there, he just does stuff. He just gets blocks. He gets rebounds. He's a great rebounder, too.
The he's Warriors such a good athlete.
He's an unbelievable athlete. He's also still like crazy young. He's the literal same age as Desmond Bane. He's 1 month older as Desmond Bane. And that's again where my like extremism as far as like promoting him. Uh-huh. I'm like, if this guy was a rookie like Desmond Bane, wouldn't you? Why isn't everyone freaking out? Like, this guy's awesome. But like everyone freaks out. I mean, Bane took like a leap this year and became like honestly near all-star level. But yes, Melton is an awesome player. When he got the opportunity in game two, it was really good to see. My thesis has always been, if the shots go in, he's unstoppably good because most of the time the shots don't go in. I mean, he shot like 37% for three for the regular season. But even when he goes 1 for 5, you see the impact in the other areas.
And he made some shots in game one. What was interesting to me is the Warriors seemed like they ran a specific play to foul out Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh, they did.
Now, granted, it's not that difficult to devise a play that's going to cause Jaren Jackson Jr. to commit a foul. But
a lot of the times the play to get him to commit a foul is just missing a shot. Right. Well,
and that works too. Yeah. And so Draymond got him fouled out and Memphis replaced him with Melton. They didn't go to a different big. They went to Melton. And I got to say, backfired a little bit on the Warriors there.
Yeah, I
don't know if it's going to be the formula for success. The coaching staff has favored going small in a jam. I feel like going small probably favors the Warriors in this series, but they did it against the Timberwolves too, where they played with only one big. It was usually because of foul trouble, either having just like Brandon Clark as the one big out there or even Jaren as the one big out there. But like, yeah, Melton came in, Zaire Williams played the four. The Grizzlies haven't done it a lot this year, but they have like some really good statistics when Zaire Williams is the four and they're playing a bunch of like smaller wings.
Well, again, especially if it's like the other big that he's matched up again is Andrew Wiggins, the least physical man alive.
Right.
I think we saw him dunk once.
Yeah.
All over Brandon Clark. Yeah. It was an incredible dunk. I mean, that's the matchup honestly of the series, or one of them, is just wondering if like, does the Grizzlies like, who does small ball favor? The minutes the Warriors played with their Poole, Clay, and Steph with Wiggins and Draymond, you know, the Grizzlies won those in game two, despite the fact that Grizzlies were playing not their normal preferred players. Like they did it with Williams and Melton. Obviously, Ja Morant gets the huge credit by scoring literally all the points in the final 5 minutes of the game. Once the Warriors decide maybe they should do something about that, then will the small ball still work? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, they got so jazzed up about that lineup that had Curry and Poole and Thompson, and they were nicknaming it and they were celebrating it, and all the local writers were trying to come up with their own patented name for it.
Well, we
and
came up really, with the real name.
The real name, Andrew Wiggins and the Water Dudes, is the official name.
Yeah, that's the official name of that lineup.
But that was after it did well in two home games against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
That lineup has not been particularly good. And the reason is that it's some of their advantages are they're duplicating a lot of things with that lineup. And you're almost, I mean, I kind of just think you're better staggering the lineup so it's like, two of Curry, Poole, and Clay are on the court at once, but maybe in crunch time, like it's not like Jordan Poole is handling the ball at the end of the game. And while Clay's been certainly worse at the end of games, I just think that you're better off with, I don't know, Otto Porter out there.
I think
Jonathan Kuminga is not going to play in crunch time, but like, he should be playing more minutes.
To me, I actually think the problem with that lineup thus far has been the Warriors have a code, and the code is Klay Thompson is the same, we promise, and we're going to treat him the same. He's the same guy as he was, and we're just going to ignore the fact that he gets blown by on defense constantly.
Here's the problem is that Klay Thompson had so much time off. He developed all these new moves. He's not that great at many of these moves. He's like diversified. He's like a pitcher that had like a great slider and a great fastball. And while he was rehabbing, he came up with a knuckleball. And that knuckleball is a step back, one leg baseline jumper. And it goes in about 25% of the time. And Clay keeps taking these Nowitzkis. And yeah, I mean, just well, spot up, dude.
But
remember
that, to me, that's not
points
the
didn't dribble.
But like, to me, that's actually not the problem with that lineup. I mean, yes, the offense is a problem, but it's the fact that they still treat Klay Thompson like he's good at defense when he's worse at defense than Steph Curry, and they match Klay up with the better player, and he gets blown by four times a game.
Yeah, I think if the Grizzlies were healthy, I mean, if Brooks is not ejected and if Bain is himself, I think there's a lot of problems defending the Grizzlies, which is not something we thought we would have. I thought much about coming into the series. If you're going to play Klay and Poole at the same time, I still fear that lineup offensively. I mean, in game one, Poole was so good and was moving so fast, and Klay was cutting, you know, really smartly, where like the Grizzlies were just getting lost. And I still fear getting lost. Like Zaire and Ja gave Steph a wide open 3-pointer. I thought the Warriors were going to win game two.
I was actually like texting with John when that happened. Yeah. I was like, why does Taylor Jenkins? Because in game one, they left Klay open like a million times too, and he kept missing the threes until the end. But I was like, is Taylor Jenkins is the strategy here leaving two of history's greatest 3-point shooters open constantly? Like, what is the strategy there? But it's working, so
I think game two, it seemed like it was a lot better. I know the Warriors still missed a bunch of open ones, but like there were far fewer open ones, and I think they had some mistakes with Xavier Tillman and his minutes about just covering just the basic like high screens and things when Steph had the ball. But game two, it seemed a lot better, and it seemed more focused on, hey, we're going to let Wiggins be wide open, and you know, and then we know we don't have to guard Draymond. Let's just make sure we don't ever leave Steph if we can help it. But I think the Grizzlies are playing unfamiliar lineups, and they're playing a lot of young guys who don't have as many reps. So I think those mistakes might just be part of it.
But I'm with Keith. To me, the problem with that lineup is the defense and not the offense. And I think at some point, you just, when they're going, very few lineups will be able to keep up with them. They just haven't had it going in three games.
And just basically, like, I mean, there's only, I don't know, there's only one ball. You know what I mean? Like
about that.
I just mean, the advantages you get from having those three guys out there offensively are not made up for by the defensive lack in their perimeter defense. I just think you'd be better off, like, just with, again, not to harp on Porter, but like just a guy who can play defense in the lane and also can come out to the 3-point shot. Like, I don't think you lose that much with a different spot up shooter in the lineup, given what you get defensively from that.
But the problem is to me, I don't think, unless they're going to play Moses Moody, like they don't really have, or Damian Lee, like Otto Porter's not a spot up shooter anymore. He hasn't hit a three in like
I think months. you gotta hope he is. I mean, Damian Lee came in and just threw the ball away, as I remember from game.
Yeah, yeah. He has kind of bounced out of that. That bad stretch.
He's like, I mean, 17 of 42 or something. I forget the exact number, but it was like,
those are good numbers, Joey, that you just said.
Well, he hasn't made a three in the series. He's not really taking the side. I just think that in crunch time specifically, but I would play more Kuminga. I would play more. I would just try to mix those guys up a little bit. That's all.
I would. I think
Klay led the team in minutes in this last game.
He's not Klay Thompson. He might be next year, but he's still not Klay Thompson. Like,
the other thing I will say, though, he also made like 20 threes in the first four games against Denver. There's a sense he's just kind of pressing.
No, he was great in the Denver series. And I don't even, I mean, his offense in game two was rough, but I just mean defensively he's not Klay Thompson, and they refuse to acknowledge that he is. Like, they, like, even in the Denver series, it was like, Monte Morris is on fire, gotta put Klay Thompson on him, and it, guess what, Monte Morris still stays on fire. Like, at a certain point, there, you have to acknowledge that, like, he's not the best defender in that lineup is all my take.
Yeah, but I mean, but they've got Wiggins on Morant at the end. You know what I mean? It's not, it's
well,
not,
no, they
I don't
have
know.
Jordan Poole on Morant at the end because they just give that switch up every single time.
Basically, I think Klay Thompson will shoot a lot better at home.
Same.
And that's going to like take care of some of this. I'm expecting one relatively comfortable Warriors victory where they win by like 7 or 8.
Because,
and then I'm expecting
all their
one
threes.
Game where, where Dylan Brooks scores 25 points. Joey, I think you outlined this scenario. Mm-hmm. 10 turnovers for Curry and Green. Many of them just going directly to venture capitalists and the crowd.
Yep.
Draymond's going to hit a blood boy in the head with a pass. And, and Andrew Wiggins is going to only shoot
he's
from the
shoot
outside.
Like
he's not going to be able
14,
to, he's not going to challenge. He just, you know, it's intimidating to go up against Brandon Clark inside when you're exactly the same height and weight as him.
I want is, I would like to see a different defensive look on Ja Morant. That's all I'm would like to see is, but.
Well, Ja took 31 shots in both of the games so far. Uh-huh. And against the Timberwolves, he was getting like I think he averaged 16 a game.
Yeah, and how'd they do that, Keith?
Sometimes. Yeah, they swarmed him.
Yeah,
And they broke the code. They also had
personnel. Like Kat was at least big and had length at the rim. I know, and then like Jaden McDaniels would come in. Anthony Edwards had the athleticism to hang with them. Mm-hmm. Like the Warriors. You know, unfortunately, Gary Payton too was the only guy who seemed like he had that physicality and athleticism to hang with Ja out on the perimeter. So, like, you know, I don't know exactly what the Warriors' adjustment will be there. I mean, if everyone else plays as poorly on the Grizzlies, like the Warriors would be fine. But if Bane is back, if Brooks is available, allowed to play by the NBA. But by the way, NBA, what are you waiting for, man?
Yeah, no announcement. They're going to drop it at like 5 p.m. It'll be like a bad economic report from the White House. Yeah. It's going to come out at like 4:55 p.m. Eastern time on Friday.
If they
the
do that,
that
means he's
suspended.
Yeah. I think they're holding it because he's not suspended.
I don't think he's going to get suspended.
Barricades around the courthouse.
Woj to me intimated he wasn't going to be suspended, and the reason why is because he basically was suspended for that game already. Which is,
I think, listen, it was a bad play. No one's not saying it wasn't a bad play. Yeah. He deserves a suspension, but I think like if you count time served of basically more than 9/10 of a game, I feel like a 2-game suspension is too much. So like, what if he was suspended for the first half? A 1.5 game suspension.
I don't understand why they can't do that. They do that that's a common college football thing.
Yeah. Like you miss curfew. Yeah.
Like sometimes you get it for like a targeting infraction.
What if he was forced to start the game with 4 fouls?
What if he had to play 1 half with his arm in a sling? And the Warriors would still not leave him to help on Ja Morant in crunch time. They'd be like, no, he's still dangerous.
Definitely not.
He's still dangerous.
I think that's what we should do. I think your flagrant foul penalties, you know, 4 flagrant foul penalty, you know, points accrued during the postseason, you get suspended. What if you started losing personal fouls available to you?
Yeah, that's great.
What if after 1 flagrant 2, hey, guess what? Rest of the playoffs, you only get 5 personal fouls per game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they whistle a foul on you the moment you come into the game.
Yeah, you start the game with multiple fouls. You pick up you pick up 3 flagrant foul points. Listen, you start the game. You only have 4 personal fouls you can use this game. I think that's a great idea.
And then that like balances it out where it feels draconian like to, anyway, yeah. I'm in.
Well, what if you can barter? What if you can trade in your suspension? You can say, listen, you can have a one game suspension, or the rest of the playoffs, you get three personal fouls per game.
Yeah.
Make a decision.
Think as a Warriors fan, the punishment should be that Dylan Brooks has to play all 48 minutes and is not allowed to pass to Ja Morant.
That's a good one.
Yeah. See if we can. I think he should be forced to take 50 shots.
I think that he like to show that he really has remorse. I think he should have to let Warriors broadcaster Bob Fitzgerald have lunch with him.
Yeah.
And then he has to listen to Bob the whole time. And then Joe Lacob calls in and tells him about his personal objectivist philosophy and talks to him about his dogs named after Ayn Rand novels.
Yep.
That's how he's going to learn his lesson. Like, that's what Dylan Brooks is going to hate the most. Dorks talking to him. Do you want to talk about some other series?
I do. Let's before we do that, we got to do this, right?
Yes.
All right. Keith, you are a certified basketball watcher. You watch more basketball than anyone on earth. Suns Mavericks, what surprised you thus far?
The
Suns lead 2-0, obviously, at the time of recording.
I would say I have watched a good bit. I appreciate the compliment for being a basketball watcher. I will admit, playoff time, I kind of dial it back a little bit. You know, some people are 16-game players. Some people are 82-game players. I'm an 82-game player. I like the regular season. Like Sixers Heat, haven't watched a minute. Haven't watched a single minute of Sixers Heat. You're telling me no Embiid's playing? Listen, if something interesting happens, I will tune in. As far as I can tell, nothing interesting has happened yet. So I haven't watched. I have watched some of Suns and Mavs. I haven't been super surprised. I guess, like, how well the Suns have done, maybe you could say that is like they're just maniacally ripping this team apart. They attacked Luka constantly in game two. They shot 64% from the field as a team.
That's amazing.
As a team, that's the third highest total for any team in a game. Just apparently can't guard them. And what's weird is, like, the Mavs are a good defensive team. Like, they're a very, very good defensive team.
Yeah.
And that's like, as far as like the playoff matchups coming into it, like, I wanted to play the Warriors as a Grizzlies fan. I didn't want to go through the slow hell that was the Mavericks. I feel like the Mavericks matched up really well with us. The Warriors, I'm like, listen, this will be fun games. I think I'd rather have that.
Yeah.
So the Mavericks are a good team, and the Suns are just being like, yeah, we don't care. Chris Paul's going to shoot over 75% for the playoffs and just make every shot. And, you know, so like
in the fourth quarter,
yeah.
The Suns shot 84.2% from the field.
Yeah, that's messed up. Yeah, I mean, the Suns seem incredible. I assume the Mavericks are going to regain their footing a little bit. I also wonder if you want to wrap it into like a broader discussion on the NBA. Like, does this show the limits of the, like, one guy doing everything basketball? Like, Luka just can't do everything, even if you have decently good role players around him, even if Maxi Kleber's still knocking down his three pointers.
Well, it's because, like, the Suns broke the code and are double teaming him, right? Yeah. Like,
I know. I think they broke the code by going at him so hard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Listen, this is like you can't.
The
you
code
can't
is you
the
have
same
to give
guy.
The switch you, the same to the, like,
you gotta
give the
spread
other
it around. You gotta spread it around. Yeah. It's like youth sports. You can't attack the same kid every time, or there's gonna be a fight.
Yeah, Steve Kerr.
You better let someone else dribble the ball.
Steve Kerr should be calling Monty Williams and telling him he needs to stop breaking the code of basketball and let Luka have exactly what he wants on offense every single time.
It's wild. So Luka made 5 out of 10 3-pointers. Like, Luka actually made his free throws, which he stinks at. Like,
yeah.
Luka scored over 30, made a bunch of threes. The
Luka
Mavericks made 17 3-pointers.
It was a classic Luka
and
game.
What do you guys make of the Suns' social media? I had this game on mute, so maybe I missed something. The Suns' official Twitter account said, guys, let's chill with the Suns in 4 chants.
Wow.
Have they turned on the dude? Has that guy been milkshake ducked? Like,
that's my suspicion.
Like, I was doing one of those weird, tweet this sketchy casino site for $20 type things on Twitter last year. And they gave me a video with Sons and Four guy. And I'm like, I'm not tweeting that. Yeah, I was like, I'm not about to retweet this guy anymore. I said I would tweet copy. I didn't say I would retweet videos of weirdos. But I thought it was amazing that the Suns were like, yeah, let's cut it out. No more. Because they're up 2-0. They could easily win this in four. But I thought that was interesting. They said, hey, let's cut that out.
All right, Keith, I wanna play a little game here with you real quick. That's impromptu here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a weirdo. An NBA weirdo, and you're going to tell me how much money a shady gambling site would have to pay you to tweet that video.
Okay.
Lakers chain man.
Oh, normal rate. I do one pop. Yeah. Listen, if it's just a retweet, not a quote retweet, you just want me to retweet something for your casino?
Yeah.
A flat retweet. I think I could do that for probably $20, you know, 15, okay. $20 per pop. Yeah. Lakers chain guy. I don't know. Does he have a weird, bad history? I'm fine with him. He's funny. I can laugh at him. A quote retweet's going to cost you more, mm-hmm. but just a flat retweet. Sure. Yeah. $15,
Clipper
$20.
Daryl. Okay.
Clipper Daryl. I know he's despised, but beyond that, I got no problem. Now, are we talking like a live video of him saying something weird?
Yeah.
Or just this is Clipper Daryl. I'm going to vote, you know, come on down to this casino.
It's just about the, he's mad at the Clippers in the video.
Yeah, I can do it normal rate. No big deal.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, the Sons and Four guy, you can get a bobblehead of him on Amazon.
Yeah. Sons and Four guys, we're talking... Mm-hmm. Couple $100.
Okay. Mark what about Jimmy? Oh yeah.
Oh, Mark Cuban. I don't mind. Yeah. Normal rate. You said normal rate / small to mid-sized Lego set. Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. James Goldstein, the courtside fan. And it's a tweet. It's kind of an obnoxious comment about architecture.
Jimmy Goldstein. No. Gratis on the house.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's good. I feel like that's good for my brand. Yeah, that's good for my social media brand. I would retweet a video of him, no problem.
What about that old fan at Nets games who like heckles people and is always clapping like this? I forget his name.
Yeah, I don't even know who that is really. Normal rate, maybe slight discount, but
KD Lang.
Yeah, according to Blazers fans, their top celebrity fan.
That, you know, if they could buy in bulk, if we could work out, if I know I'm going to get like, you know, a few hundred dollars out of it, that'd be fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An NFT of Joe Lacob.
In a Grizz Warrior series, that's hard for me. That might cost me some follows. I'm gonna need to receive start a coin purse account for me and put something in there. It's gonna cost you a lot.
The next guy is called Mr. Whammy, by the
way. Okay. Yeah.
Kind of means the rate's a little higher to me, I think.
Yeah.
T Morant.
Oh, you know what? I might have to work out. Let's just get a I just need a John Morant shout out. I just need a couple John Morant retweets.
He plugs the podcast.
I mean, John Morant, you know, the man is the most. Like Kevin Durant's probably the greatest NBA Twitter user. John Morant might be the most prolific as far as just volume.
Yeah. He's just a lot. Constant. I had to unfollow him because
he just retweets everything. Yeah. Like, you know, like I remember the first time he retweeted me, I was like real excited. And then it's like, oh, this guy just retweets everything. Mm-hmm. If you say his name and it's positive, there's a good chance he's going to retweet you.
Uh-huh.
If I could work out a few of those, I could do something with T Morant.
All right. And then finally a GIF of Drake.
It's again like all of these I feel like my thought process is this bad for my brand? Does this seem embarrassing? Will this turn followers away? Do they think it's not funny? I feel like Drake operates in that nebulous world where it could be either like, hey, Keith's making fun of Drake. So like I feel like I could skate it either way. Yeah, yeah. Normal rate. Normal
all
rate.
Right. So there you go, shady gambling sites. That's that's your rubric for Keith tweets. Sean, Keith said he hasn't watched a single minute of Heat Sixers. Do you want to give do you want to give the listeners your take on Heat Sixers so far?
Yeah, well, I've been doing shows, so it's been cutting into my playoff launching a little bit, but I just think it's great that Doc Rivers is still sticking with DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, I've seen those quotes. That is delightful.
I've thought of that myself. He just loves having his daughter's ex-boyfriends on his roster and playing them a lot. Like, it's, for some reason, it feels like pathological, like some kind of father-based cuckolding thing, but it's amazing. Now, I mean, granted, they don't really have, I mean, their backup center is Paul Reed.
Excuse me? What is his name? Be respectful. It's B-Ball Paul.
B-Ball Paul. That's, I always get confused because I think of Streetball Paul. Obviously, that's Paul Millsap in an All-Star game. Paul Reed tends to get in foul trouble. He did not in game two. He played 25 minutes, and that was a better solution. It's just it's rough when they don't have Joel Embiid, and you know, James Harden just isn't really a shooter anymore, which is such a weird thing to say, but he just does not seem to go to the basket or get to the basket as well, or just as frequently as he used to. I'm not smart enough about basketball to say why that is, but possibly the league seemingly cutting down on players shamelessly mugging for fouls, it has hurt, and he just isn't, he's just not shooting threes the same way anymore.
I mean, the main thing I know about this series that I have not watched is the Sixers are minus 31 with DeAndre Jordan on the court and plus one with him off the court.
Yeah.
So like in the, what is this? In the 31 minutes that DeAndre Jordan has played, that's where they've been outscored. And then all the other minutes are fine. So like that part of it, that's pretty hilarious. I guess I'll probably watch game three because I'll be basketball starved from Thursday's no basketball.
I think Embiid's going to come back in game three too.
Yeah, maybe. And oh, by the way,
that'll make it like a normal series.
Speaking of players coming back, the Warriors just released an injury update on Gary Payton too. They're saying we're now down to at least 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
That, hey, if it's just 2 weeks, I'm trying to get a rhyme for you can't suspend them. you must show relief. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
I will say
that if it's only a fortnight, you allow for a sport fight.
That was a good one.
I will say the crazy thing to me about Sixers Heat is when the playoffs started, I was making fun of Victor Oladipo, and now he's good at basketball. He had 19 points in game two.
Yeah, I mean, he had 5 points in game one. But, yeah, but... yes, the thing is, the thing about their team, it's so weird that, okay, so they still don't have Kyle Lowry back. And
well, he was upgraded for game three just now, actually.
Oh, because he has miles. I think he's in the executive club for that. But they have a weirdly deep team, because some of the things that I didn't really like about the Heat was that they seem very dependent on Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. And well, now Max Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
But like that didn't bother me as much. Just it's like. Well, also, Tyler Hero has been playing awesome.
Yeah.
But Duncan Robinson doesn't even play anymore. I don't even think he's hurt.
No, they just they found Max Strus. He's your Duncan Robinson replacement.
I mean, he was plus 27 in game one.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy. So they're starting Max Strus and Gabe Vincent.
Gabe Vincent, by the way, who every time I hear his name, I'm like, isn't that like the guitarist for Scorpions? Like that's not a basketball name. That is a rock and roll name. You know what I mean? I'm not a star rock and roller.
the other thing I like about this Sixers Heat series, again, from just seeing the numbers, Georges Niang, who the Jazz did not bring back because he could not make a three-pointer in the playoffs last year. He's 1 for 10. from three in this series. I don't think, guys, he's cut out. Like, everyone's like, hey, we got this floor spacer. It's like, no, his last team let him go because they thought he did poorly in the playoffs, and now he's doing poorly in the playoffs. Whoopsie.
Yeah. I mean, Maxey's been good. The guy who's actually been the savior. I always feel weird about this guy because he's like always traded and he's clearly a little bit overpaid. Mm-hmm. But Tobias Harris is just always very solid. Like, he's just like a great two or three guy on a team. And he's like the one guy that Miami can't handle. They've got this like vaunted defense and they just have no solutions for Tobias Harris. And that's kind of wild to me that he's like, this is his time to shine. Overmatched. The only option. Yeah.
And then finally, we should talk about the last series. Celtics-Bucks. It's tied 1-1 at the time of recording. I was really psyched about the Celtics. I thought the Celtics were going to fall flat on their faces after game one. My favorite thing of the playoffs thus far was when they cut to Brad Stevens angrily leaving the owner's box with 7 minutes left to go in game one.
Yeah, I think he ate too much Chipotle. Yeah. It was a Paul Pierce moment.
And then unfortunately, the Celtics came back and looked really good in game two. Guys, what are your thoughts on Celtics-Bucks thus far?
I mean, I think it's been a really fun series, and the you know, I think the winner of this feels like the team that's going to come out of the East.
Agreed.
The Bucks coming out in game one with no Middleton and just looking so kind of dominant and like, I don't know, just seizing control of the series, but then the bounce back. Now the Celtics without Marcus Smart playing so well in game two, like, yeah, these teams are both really good and really fun to watch and kind of like just insanely good at defense. And we're seeing that like that playoff Giannis where, even if you're going against a great defense, it's just like he kind of just finds a way and like just like knocks people over and gets to the bucket.
Well, so, and also the key to unlocking him is Brook Lopez, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, I mean, he has not shot well in this series so far. I mean, albeit unlocked, but he's got to be shooting like 30% in this in this series so far. I expect when they get back to Milwaukee, I think he's probably going to draw a few more fouls. And it's funny, like the Bucks have this defensive scheme where they kind of dare your mediocre 3-point shooters to shoot and they wall off the paint. And in game two, Boston just made a lot of threes. Like they took, I think 40, they've taken over 40 in both games and they hit almost half of them in game two. And
they
like
only
some of that
10 2-point field goals in game one.
Yeah.
That's very weird.
I think that, that defense is similar to the Warriors defense where they dare your mediocre 3-point shooters to shoot. Mm-hmm. And then also do not wall off the paint.
They don't wall off the paint. And they also
say, we're going to let you shoot all the 3-pointers you want. Also, we're going to single guard you when you drive in.
Oh, yeah. You know what was the biggest part about that Gary Payton 2 update? The Warriors just released no Andre Iguodala for at least another week. So,
That's a blow. That's a blow for the
jaw
Grizzlies.
Stopper. That's some jaw dropping news.
I thought we should hypnotize Dylan Brooks before the series started to make him think that Andre Iguodala was suiting up.
Yeah, because
he has lit him up.
They should get a fan to wear an out of shape fan to wear an Iguodala jersey, like fake Clay, and that'll really like fire him up. The other thing about this series is, so I kind of feel this way about Dylan Brooks. I think you and I have slightly different opinions on how good he is. Keith, I mean, he's not a bad player or anything. He's just, such a foul machine, but, the Celtics without, Marcus Smart seemed like they leaned a lot on Grant Williams and he was great. He was doing a lot of the Marcus Smart things. He wasn't falling down as much as Marcus Smart does on purpose all the time on people's legs and to get calls. But it's kind of nice to have a guy out there who can make threes.
Yeah. And I mean, Marcus Smart, the shooting comes and goes, but like he does seem to be like this incredibly crucial element to the Celtics. Obviously, when he was a player of the year, but then they played so well in game two. Like the comparison to Dylan Brooks, I felt like you know, he's known for being a chucker. He's known for being a fouler. I think he's unequivocally a good player. I think he's an excellent player. He's mm-hmm. been one of the best players for the Grizzlies the last couple of years. And like, I think for the Warriors Grizzlies game, not having Dylan Brooks, I felt like the Grizzlies just hung on with weird makeshift lineups. In the Celtics, it was just like, all right, they did. They had Derek White who could play more and Grant Williams who could play more. And that's among their small core of guys they actually trust. And those players stepped up. I felt like Grant Williams had a better game in game two than like any of the, maybe, you know, even better than Melton. I know he had an awesome fourth quarter with the steals and the blocks, but like a better overall game than Melton had. You know, Zaire hit some three pointers, so I think Grant was just maybe a little bit of a stronger player. Possibly the Celtics can continue to have success without Marcus Smart, but I know they would prefer to have him, much like the Grizzlies. I think them having success without Dylan would surprise me a little bit, but I'm also ready to pivot my arguments should it go in that manner.
Pro Melton,
And be a begin to, you know, start questioning some of Dylan's contributions over the past few years.
I think Smart, probably his sort of bullying attitude doesn't work as well on a team like the Bucks, whereas the Nets are crushed into dust by him staring at them and like pressing up on a drive.
All right. There's one last thing I want to ask Keith before we leave. Keith, you are a known ref defender. You love the refs. You're super pro refs. I want to give you, I'm going to give you a difficult task here. I need you to defend the ref's decision to release a music video starring Scott Foster about Jack Harlow. Because that's what they did on Twitter yesterday.
So
they did a music video. Oh my God. About how they didn't know who Scott Foster didn't know who Jack Harlow was.
Yes. And they released a like minute and a half long video where they try and make Scott Foster look cool to a Jack Harlow song.
Oh boy.
This is a tough moment for me. I long had been, you know, in favor of the NBA, the league doing more things to explain to fans, like just about the rules process, the officiating process. Like I thought they were doing a poor job, even in their broadcasts, by having like Joe Borgia, you know, like he's not the best guy. You like, you guys need to get someone a little more better. Like your social media accounts need to be better. You need to hire like actual comedians to interact with people to explain. It's because like they had a habit of like quote tweeting clips and being like, here's why this call's correct. And it always like came across incorrectly. And I was someone who was like, I see what you're trying to say, but there's a better way to do this. You need to have someone more online to help you out. And this is not what I had in mind. I don't think they should be attempting comedy bits with their people. I think keeping the referees as anonymous as possible is a benefit. I, you know, like, I don't know. From someone who has spent a lot of time being like, listen, you have to consider the angle the person who blew the whistle was at. Like, if you're not even considering the perspective of what the guy was looking at, you can't be that mad. And so, like, that's kind of where a lot of it comes from. And they're not doing that. I think it'd be more fun. Like, the big three, when they let the referees wear cameras, like GoPros on them, so you can see the angle they're looking at. I love this technology. Let's do more of this. Releasing things attempting to go viral by doing SNL style.
What is the benefit of that?
Style music videos. Yeah, you lost me there. Like, what's the upside? You don't want, I don't understand.
More people following you?
I don't
want more people talk. Yeah, you want to.
You're
like,
supposed to be independent arbiters of justice, guys. And like, I don't know how improving your online clout achieves that goal. I mean, it's weird when it mixes into when the referees are doing it for the entertainment part of it. That I don't know. Yeah, it was very, very strange. I cannot defend it.
It's very strange, and it's a very odd kind of situation where they're promoting essentially the guy who is the focus of all conspiracy allegations for all of this stuff. And it's like, you just don't want him to know that he's there. And I mean, I think ESPN's choice to have Steve Javy is much more in line with what Keith's saying. Just a guy who is
loves a sad
could
sandwich.
Not be more boring. Could not be more boring.
Right.
Seems like he's locked in a panic room. Like always like a little bit surprised when they cut to him, like they had to rouse him a little bit. And all of his answers are completely boring. And now, granted, I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't even bother because it's really boring and it seems like kind of a big expense. But like, that's why you don't want to, like, you want a boring guy to do that job. You want, like, I think Steve Javie is an ordained deacon and went to divinity school.
He does seem that's like a what weird you're looking guy. For.
Yeah. That's what you want. You want like a bland dude. And, you know, for the NFL, apparently it has to be an Italian, a former ref with an Italian surname. That's the only way it works. But like, I feel like in football, there are complicated stuff. There's complicated stuff where they'll say, like, you know, you don't realize this, but you can't go out of bounds and be the first guy to touch the ball. Like something you might not normally know. In basketball, it's just like, it's just Steve Javie again voicing sort of an esoteric opinion.
Well, so I think that part you mentioned about the difference between the sports, I actually think it's not that dissimilar. I think in basketball, again, one of the reasons that like I get annoyed at fans screaming about officials is so often they're screaming about rules, and so frequently they don't know the rules. And there are a lot of very strange rules in the NBA. And I think one of the problems the NBA comes into is the announcers don't even know some of the basic rules. Like in game one of the Warriors game, no one seemed to know that the rule had changed that like it isn't an automatic review for out of bounds calls. Mm-hmm. Like that's been a great benefit. They missed the out of bounds call where Dylan Brooks knocks it out of bounds. It goes to a jump ball, but like the league has improved greatly by not having these constant reviews on out of bounds plays. Like just embrace human error. We can do it. But like, I do think there are a lot of very strange calls and people are like, hey, why can't we challenge this? And it's like, we've been over this 100 times. You can't challenge a call where there's no whistle. Like no one called goaltending. Yeah. You can't challenge it. Or like no one called a foul. And then we go to the replay reviews. Like, oh, you see the foul on the replay. It just gets so confusing. I just wish we started with like the frontline people, the national broadcast people, just if they were understanding of some of the basic rules. See, now you've got me defending the referees again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but I can't defend the social media video they posted.
Yeah. And I think we still have too many video reviews.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, that Celtics-Bucks game was insane because it was like a 20-point game for most of the second half, and they probably had 6 video reviews.
Well, that's the thing with the flagrant fouls. Like, I would be in favor. You call it like you see it in the moment.
Uh-huh. Figure it out later.
Hey, flagrant one. And then after the fact, you're like, oh, it's a flagrant two. That dude's gone next game.
Yeah.
Like,
or he's
like,
playing with 5 fouls.
Or he has to start the game with 4 or 5 fouls. Yeah. Like I'd be in favor of that. Honestly, even like the things you can do immediately from Secaucus, like, hey, that was a goaltend. I wish they would just fix it. Like as in like, you only stop it in the final 2 minutes because you can't like add points. So I'm saying like, hey, guess what? 3 minutes ago in the first quarter, that was a goaltend. We've added the points. Like, you know, they do some of that for checking twos and threes. They have fixed this where they fix them at timeouts. But like I would honestly be in favor of some wild, hey, we went through and reassessed all the flagrant fouls and the clear path fouls. And here's the report. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
maybe a 2-minute call. Like, hey, your team deserves 6 free throws. Maybe tough. But like, yeah, I don't care that much. I lean now more towards I prefer the art of refereeing over the science.
Mm-hmm.
Ref it by feel.
Okay, cop. All right. That's our episode.
No, he wants less. He wants less mandatory session. He wants.
Yeah, I want. I need less. This is less legalism. Like, also, yeah, I need more Judge Dredds out there, Joey.
Uh huh.
I need people who are the law.
You're a
who
fascist.
Can
figure it out. Yeah, all right.
This is, exactly. This is the 6 can fix plan that Keith Parrish has presented to reform. And that's why we need to increase funding for the referees to
That's right, man. That's right.
defund Scott Foster.
That's what everyone, everyone's like we need to add a fourth referee. It's like, oh, you're for increasing the funding, huh?
I didn't realize we were talking about
basketball Frank Miller. All right, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, just it. Three refs already kind of seems like a lot, and the fact that considering that they, you know, half the time can't really tell who the ball went out of bounds off of anyway.
It's impossible to tell. Embrace the madness.
I would also like to get rid of jump balls because no NBA ref has thrown a jump ball straight up in the air in about 15 years. Like they just don't know how to do it.
What's your fix?
I don't know.
Use a drone. Something. Use the Aaron Gordon drone.
Anything except a drone to drop a jump ball. It's like. Yeah. It's just, it takes forever. They're always like shoving around in position. And then the ref throws the ball at like a 45 degree angle. And you're like, what's happening right now? Or like really the tip gets stolen. Like it's,
you know what?
Yeah. Stealing the tip is cool though.
Every time an ex-NBA player,
it's all like nonsense.
Every time an ex-NBA player is like, listen, if you never played in the league, you can't comment on the game. Uh-huh. I think the new position would be if you've never thrown a perfectly perpendicular jump ball. You can't criticize referees.
I need a demonstration
of a perfect up and down throw.
Well, I'm just saying it's very difficult to do. I don't think it's extremely difficult. And that's why the jump balls flaunt. Just go to an arrow.
I can't believe we haven't come out with like a jump ball, just like a contraption.
Yeah.
Or, like Scott Foster just whips a thing out of his jersey and it's like a little.
Boop, yeah. It just feels like once a game we're in like the 1940s. That's what happens when it gets stuck in the peach basket.
All right.
the man has to throw it up in the center.
Enough propaganda. That's our episode. Keith, where can our listeners find you?
Just follow me on Twitter at Fast Break Break. If you want me to retweet something, $30.
Straight up 30. It's not such a bad thing.
Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Not really. I'm going to be in Nepal, the nation of Nepal. Follow them. They've got a great video. It's a Jack Harlow song about, not leaving your trash on Mount Everest. It's really good. The Sherpas do a dance.
And then as for me, I was on the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast this week, reacting to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Dolly Parton, woo!
I have a take about that. Dolly Parton should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but also she asked to be removed from the ballot, and they voted her in anyway, so weird. All right, Sean, did you write a song?
Yeah, I do. I do have a song. It weirdly fits our theme. It's by Scott Foster, The People. And it's called Trumped Up Calls.
Great. And then, oh man, I almost forgot to do my bit. You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. Where on 6/26/14, I tweeted, had a good run playing b-ball at Kurt Warner 13's house last night. The broken rib I suffered is totally worth it. No big breaths for me. I guess Dylan Brooks was playing in that pickup game. All right. That's Sean Song is playing under us right now. Trust the process. Shut it down. No more breaking the code.
Chris Paul's got quick hands, but in the playoffs he'll face a ref with a plan. He's got a scowl on his face, throwing out his arms like he's an angry kid. Yeah, he can't draw a shooting foul. In playoffs against Foster, he is 0-14. Might punch a guy in the nuts, but he's flopping on you. Yeah, he'll be flopping, it's true. All the other refs with the trumped up calls are flagrant one. Count those touch fouls. All the other refs with the trumped up calls are replays. Run, run, run. Game's 3 hours long.
all the other rest with the trumped up cause they're having fun. Teeth that guy up. All the other rest with the trumped up cause they're title run. Defense on Scott Foster.
Adam Silver works a long day. He'll be coming home late with Jared Kushner.
All the other refs with the trumped up cause they're playing one. Got those touch fouls. All the other refs with the trumped up cause they run. Games 3 out of stumble. All the other refs with the trumped up cause they're having fun. Teeth that guy up. All the other refs with the trumped up cause. Run title run. Defense on Scott Foster.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.